Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, right here on AM 1220, The Word. I hope you'll be able to stick with us here this evening and even join in the conversation. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673, and we'd love to have you on with us here this evening. I hope you had a good day today. Wow, what a great day we had at church today. Of course, it's Palm Sunday today. We are celebrating the triumphant entry of Jesus Christ into Jerusalem as he presented himself as the Messiah. And of course, that's the beginning of what we call the Passion Week. And when we think of that, the Passion of Christ, the celebration as the people cried out, Hosanna, as Jesus came in. And then, of course, just a few days later, people were crying out, Crucify him, crucify him. And then yet another short time later, a few days later, Jesus, of course, after being crucified and buried, 3 days and three nights, rose triumphantly and defeated sin and death. He purchased our salvation and he sealed it with his resurrection. What an exciting week. And if you are a believer in Christ, if you know Christ as your Savior, this really is one of the greatest weeks to celebrate in the life of a believer. Christmas is great. We celebrate the birth of Christ, but the birth of Christ wouldn't have meant much if it weren't for what Jesus Christ accomplished on the cross. So, tremendous week. And so we're glad to have you with us here tonight. And we'll be talking about some other things, I'm sure, over the course of the evening. But let's go ahead and begin our program tonight with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air tonight. We just pray that you would bless the program, use it for your glory. Help us to point people to Christ that are searching. Help us to encourage believers in their walk with you. And again, we just pray that you would just help us to lift up and glorify Christ in all that we do tonight and all our discussion. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, again, welcome to the program. I'm Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. We certainly invite you to come out and visit us. We'll have more information about that here at 11:30 at the our break, as well as at the end of the program at midnight. And you can find us online, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And if you'll go there, you can find out not only information about me and the program, but you can also find out some more information about our church, the Richfield Bible Baptist Church. Just follow the links there. I've got several things that are on there right now. Certainly, there's links to some of our social media. We're on Facebook. We're on Gab. We're on MeWe. We're on Parler. There's USA.life, number of them. You can find the links there at livewithpastoral.com. And we've also got some information on our new church move. And for those of you who've been listening, we've been talking the last several weeks about the move, our recent move. On April 1st was our first day in our new location. And so we're now meeting at 4174 Wheatley Road. That's 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield, Ohio. We're about 4 miles further south of where we used to meet. We used to meet at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express. We're right near where Interstate 77, Interstate 271, all cross with Brecksville Road there, Broadview Road, and Wheatley Road. It's all there together. You can find us pretty easy online that way, and we're easy to get to. So we've had some people who found us that were looking for us following our move, and so we just Thank God for the facility that we have and the opportunities that we have to serve him there. But like I said, go to join us online at liveatpastoral.com. You can link to our church's webpage there. Also wanted to mention that there's some articles and things that are available there, some things we may talk about tonight. What day was Jesus crucified on? I have an article there, as well as Is Easter a Mistake? And I've got that there as well. And so amongst other articles and things. And you can listen to past programs all at livewithpastoral.com. Let's see. What else do I want to mention before we get into our phone calls? We've got some people lined up and ready to call here tonight. And I just wanted to mention, too, that we are planning a dedication service for our new facility. That's going to be Sunday, March the 22nd. So we'll talk about that a little bit more a little later on. But in the meanwhile, continue to pray for us. We're getting used to our new location and excited about the opportunities that God has for us there. And, of course, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. One of the things that we wanted to make sure that we were able to do moving into a new location is to still be able to be on the air. One time we looked at a location, and we would have had to have ended our Friday afternoon program. If you're not familiar, not only are we on every Sunday night, 11 o'clock to midnight, but we're also on every Friday afternoon from 1:30 until 2 o'clock. And I encourage you to check us out there as well. And tend to have more guests at that time than we do on the Sunday night program. Not that we don't have guests on Sunday night sometimes, but generally speaking, we'll have guests more likely on our Friday program. It's a different program than what we have on Sunday night. So anyway, you can find all that out at livewithpastoral.com. All right, well, we're going to be getting to our phones here. Again, that phone number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we have got John waiting for us tonight. John, welcome to the program this evening.
Oh, thank you. Happy Palm Sunday.
Well, and happy Palm Sunday to you too, John. Thanks for calling.
Thank you. There's a lot of talk on the internet about the rapture, and they quoted a verse that I was completely stumped on. I wanted to get your opinion on it.
All right, what's the verse?
Luke 12:36-37.
All right, let me get thumbed over there. Turn Luke chapter 12.
Right.
And you said verse 36. Let me.
36 and 37.
Where are we at? All right, Luke chapter 12, and Jesus is talking there, and it's in the midst of a longer conversation, so we may have to look back at some of the other things that he said, but while we're looking at that, what's your question there?
Well, this person on the internet was saying that in verse 36, it talks about Jesus returning from the wedding. And the person was saying that the people that are raptured are supposed to be part of the wedding. So who is going to be waiting for him returning from the wedding? This person was saying that there would be two harvests to the rapture.
Depending on what they mean by harvest and everything, we know that before the tribulation period starts, there's going to be a harvest in that sense where God is going to call the believers out of the world. Anybody that is born again, when you're born again, the Spirit of God indwells you. In fact, Paul said, if you have not the Spirit of Christ, you're none of his. The Spirit of Christ is synonymous with the Holy Spirit. So the Spirit of God, or the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, whichever term you want to use, Holy Ghost even, indwells you at the moment of salvation. And the Bible says you're sealed by the Spirit until the day of redemption. And so what happens when the rapture, the catching away of the believers, takes place, there's various descriptions of it in the Bible. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, starting about verse 13 or so, and then 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and the last half of that, and getting down to the last third of the chapter in particular, talks in a lot of detail about some of the things with the catching away of the believers. But all of the believers will be caught away at that time. Anyone who is genuinely born again, the Spirit of Christ is in them. They belong, they're sealed by the Holy Spirit of God, and so they will be caught up out of the world. Then, after that, the Antichrist will be revealed. He'll come to power. And during that period of time, known as the tribulation, some people will come to Christ during that time, become believers, and that second harvest, if you want to look at it that way, will take place at the end of the tribulation when God sends an angel to gather together the believers that are in the world at that time. So that would be the second harvest there. I don't know if that's exactly what he was talking about.
But wouldn't that be known after 7 years? Why would in verses 39 and 40 say that you don't know what hour the thief would come? Be ready for the Son of Man comes.
Right.
Wouldn't that hour be known by those that would go through the tribulation?
That's actually a very good question, but see, this, what we're looking at here in Luke chapter 12 that you're talking about there refers to the rapture prior to the tribulation. We have no prophecy, really, that I'm aware of that needs to be fulfilled for that to take place. We know that God has a certain time, and we're supposed to be watching and waiting, and the Bible says that of that day and hour, no man knows, but we will be aware of the season. We believe that we're in the season, and we've talked before about how Jesus in his first coming fulfilled the spring feasts. There's the seven Levitical feasts. He fulfilled Passover. Of course, Passover is taking place this week, and Jesus was our Passover lamb. And then, of course, after Passover is the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And so Jesus, our Passover lamb, was sacrificed for us. In fact, he died at the same moment the Passover lambs were being killed. And then he was the unleavened bread because his body was without sin. And then, of course, he was the first fruits because he's described in the scripture as the first fruits of the resurrection. And so he fulfilled Passover, unleavened bread, and first fruits. Then on the day of Pentecost, the Spirit of God indwelt the believers and empowered them to go out preaching the gospel, and thousands of people came to Christ. So that would be the fulfillment of Pentecost. Then that leaves the next one after a period of time takes place, comes the autumn feast, first of which is Rosh Hashanah, the Feast of Trumpets, and that's the one where you know the season, but you don't know the day nor the hour, so it really typifies some of the elements of the rapture, followed, of course, by the tribulation period, which would be the time fulfilling the Day of Atonement. And then, of course, after that, the Feast of Tabernacles, and that would probably be fulfilled with the Millennial Kingdom, where Christ dwells amongst us, tabernacles with us. But so going back to the Feast of Trumpets, Rosh Hashanah, that takes place. That's the first new moon in the autumn. You know about when it's going to be, but you don't know the exact day or hour. And so they were to be watching and waiting for that to be ready. And when they heard the trumpet, they were to go to the feast. And I'm simplifying it greatly, of course, but so that's what he's referring here when he talked about in verse 37, blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. And so these people are watching, and then he begins to give the idea here in verse 39, and this know that if the good men of the house had known at what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not suffered his house to be broken through. And basically, if you thought somebody's going to come at 3 in the morning to break into your house, you'd be waiting at 3 in the morning. But see, you don't know when somebody's going to come. You might have heard rumor that somebody was breaking into houses on your street in the middle of the night, and you might think could happen anytime after midnight before 6 in the morning, let's say. So you're watching and waiting. You don't know what time he's going to be there. But if you knew what time, you'd certainly be watch and ready for him when he got there. And then he says there in verse 40, "Be therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not." So we really don't know exactly when he's going to call us to be with him. That'll be the rapture that catches away all of the believers in the world at one time to meet the Lord in the air, like it says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 13. Then after that, the Antichrist will be revealed and the tribulation period will begin, and people will come to Christ during that period of time.
Well, in verse 36, then, not everybody that will be raptured will be at the wedding, then, I take it, from verse 36.
No, everybody that's raptured will be at the wedding, but not everybody will be raptured, because not everybody is saved that claims to be a Christian. There's a lot of people. I was talking to our church today. We were talking about celebrating Palm Sunday, and I said, you know, across the country, across the world, thousands, if not millions of people are gathered in churches today, and they're there simply because, well, it's what you do. And let me elaborate on that. I gave an example. I talked with a woman several years ago at the Medina County Fair. I was helping somebody out that had a booth that we were sharing gospel with people. And this woman who identified herself as going to a Lutheran church said that she was basically didn't believe any of the Bible, thought it was a bunch of nonsense. She was essentially sort of an atheist type person. And I said, well, why do you go to the church? And she said, well, you know, that's what my family does. I'm of German background, and, you know, we go to Lutheran church. And she said, besides, our pastor doesn't believe any of it anyways. And, you know, that was kind of a surprising statement. She said that I know that because we were at a church picnic, and the our pastor, our Lutheran pastor, who was drinking a bit too much with the guys at the picnic, and what business alcohol had at a church picnic, I don't know, but they apparently had plenty of it. He drank a bit too much, and he loosened up with the guys in his church, and he said, you know, that Bible stuff, I don't believe any of it. It's a bunch of nonsense. And so I said, why do you go? And she said, well, it's what we do. And so there are people like that who are in churches today, call themselves Christians even, but they've got no salvation. They don't even necessarily believe in the salvation message, but they call themselves Christians. Those people won't be caught up because they don't have the Spirit of God in them, so they're not saved.
Well, are those people then the ones that are called servants in verse 37?
Well, he said in verse 37, blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching.
Is that who he's talking about? Is this woman and her pastor?
No. He's talking about people who know Christ, who are saved. And certainly if somebody is saved, they ought to be watching, but of course not all of them are watching like they should be. He said, blessed are those servants, because when he comes, he's going to find them ready. And the way to be ready for the rapture is to know Christ as your Savior. It helps if you're watching and waiting, but not every Christian is really watching and waiting. But if you are born again, you are truly his servant. But unfortunately, some people call themselves servants, but they don't know Christ. And you know, these are the people who aren't going to be caught up to be with him. There's not much blessing in being left out of the rapture. The blessing is because we're ready for him, and when he comes, he's going to take us up to be with him. In fact, it says that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. So there's a blessing and a reward in heaven for God's servants. But for somebody who doesn't know Christ as their Savior, they're not going to be taken up at this time.
So there's two different types that are spoken of in these two verses. the ones that will be in the rapture and those that won't be taken?
Well, yeah. In other words, saved and unsaved. Doesn't matter whether people call themselves Christians or not. It boils down to saved or unsaved. If you're saved, the Spirit of God is in you, and you will be caught up to be with the Lord. If you're not saved, the Spirit of God is not in you, and you will not be caught up.
Well, I guess I'm wondering why Jesus would say that he would serve those that aren't saved in verse 37.
Well, I just explained that. He didn't say that. He said, blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. So these are the believers. They're watching. Verily I say unto you that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat and will come forth and serve them. He's serving the ones that he says are blessed. These are not the ones who are unsaved. These are the saved ones because they've been caught up and they're in heaven and we're going to sit down with the Lord in heaven.
But according to verse 36, they won't be at the wedding.
All right, let me go back here. Let's go back again all the way to the top, and I do have a number of callers to get to tonight. Let's start in verse number 35 where the sentence starts. Let your loins be girt about, and your lights burning, and ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord when he return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. And if he shall come in the second watch or come in the third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants. So these are people who are serving God. These are people who belong to him. Now, he's given the example here in this illustration here of a man. He's been out. He's been at a wedding. He's been out traveling about. And he returns home, and his servants are there waiting for his return. And so if you look at just from that standpoint, we're waiting for our Lord's return.
Wouldn't it be his wedding?
It doesn't say it's his wedding. It says that he was at a wedding. He returns from the wedding. But what I was going to say, if you want to say his wedding, the Jewish wedding feast was an ongoing thing too. And when the wedding began, the groom would go and receive his bride and then bring her back to the wedding. But in this particular case, if we just look at it as the guy went out traveling, he went to a wedding, he's out all night. They don't know when he's coming back. He might come back early. He might come back late. He might come back somewhere in between. But because they're his servants, they're waiting so that when he comes to the gate and knocks, they can open the gate immediately to allow him in. That's what he finds. He finds these servants waiting. And when he knocks at the gate, they open up unto him immediately in verse 36. And he says they're blessed because when he came back, he found them watching. They were waiting for him. And then he has a reward for them when they come in. And it doesn't matter when they come, second watch, third watch, or whatever. They're waiting, and so he said, and watching for him. So he says they're blessed. So this doesn't necessarily mean that he's coming from his own wedding, and it's not necessarily talking about the wedding supper of the Lamb, because when Christ comes for us, he's the bridegroom, and the believers collectively represent the bride of Christ, and we will be received up into heaven to be with him, and then we will go to the wedding supper of the Lamb that's described in Revelation chapter 19. So there's nothing here in verse 36, 37, 38 that suggests that these are unsaved people, that these are people who are not believers. Everything here in the text suggests that these are people who are waiting anxiously for their Lord's return, and he has got a blessing in store for them when he comes and finds them watching. And that would be the case today. We're waiting anxiously as believers for our Lord's return, and when he comes, he's bringing his reward with him. Salvation is never a reward. It's the gift of God. Ephesians chapter 2, Paul says it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should should boast, but he does have rewards for his servants. When that trumpet sounds, we're going to be caught up to be with him, and we're going to sit with him, and he has rewards for us, and so that's all that's coming. So yeah, so this is a good passage, but it's not talking about unsaved people being rewarded in any way here. This is the servants of the Lord blessed because they're found watching, and when he comes, he rewards his servants. So
I guess I just imagined that he was talking about his wedding. I'll have to look into that a little bit further.
Yeah, but and even if it was, that the fact of the matter is the servants were watching and waiting, and they're rewarded because they're his servants. They belong to him, and they're watching and waiting for him. So, but it certainly doesn't teach two raptures in that passage. It's just talking about them being caught up, and we don't know exactly when that's going to be. He said right there, be therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when you think not. And how do we make ourselves ready? We make ourselves ready by knowing that we're saved. And if we know that we're saved, we ought to be watching and waiting for our Lord to come back for us. So,
but I guess what I got misunderstood about was, because if it was his wedding, then his servants would be at that wedding.
Well, unless what he was doing was part of the wedding being celebrated elsewhere, we don't know the story. That's why I think it suggests personally that he was at somebody else's wedding. But at any rate, so hopefully it'll be a help there as you look at it again. But
thanks so much.
All right. Hey, appreciate the call tonight, John. And you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. Our number here is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We've got Nancy, who's patiently waiting for us tonight. Nancy, welcome to the program this evening.
Oh, thank you, Pastor Al. Thank you for taking my call.
Hi, good evening.
Good evening to you. My question this evening is regarding the Antichrist. I mean, all this end times subject matter is so well covered now, and almost every show you listen to, they're talking about something. You know, and the first caller was talking about this too. Now, I know that you're not a prophet, and you don't have some inside information, but who do you think is the Antichrist will be? I know Chick Track, they sort of think straight out it's going to be the Pope. Some people say it's going to be French President Macron. And then I've heard some people say, oh, I know the Antichrist will be a Muslim. So I know you don't have, you know, direct insight, but just off the top of your head, do you have any serious decisions on who you think is the most likely person to be the Antichrist?
Well, I guess we can look at this a little bit here, and I know we're coming up on the break here in just a few moments, so we may have to hold this over to the second half. But really, the Antichrist is somebody, we can guess all we want to, but I don't think anybody's going to know until after the rapture takes place. And really, it won't be until the moment that somebody signs a covenant with Israel. You can see that in Daniel chapter 9, where it says in verse 25, Daniel 9, verse 25, know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem unto Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks, and the street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublous times. And that's what we leading up to Jesus' entry into Jerusalem and all, when he came in, Messiah the Prince came in. And then it says in verse 26, and after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off. Well, what happened? Jesus entered in as the Messiah on Palm Sunday, and then he was cut off. He says, but not for himself. Jesus did no sin. He didn't die for himself. He died for you and me. And then it says, and the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. That took place when Titus destroyed the temple and all in AD 40, I believe it was, but I know we're coming up on the break here, but in verse 27 it says, "And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week." That 1 week, that's 7 years of the tribulation that the Antichrist confirms. If you'll hold, we'll continue on with this in just few minutes.
Thank you.
You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield, midway between Akron and Cleveland, just off both Interstate 77 and Interstate 271. The Bible Baptist Church meets each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Well, because the Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, "Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing to Pastor Al Davis at Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio, 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoel.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight right here on AM 1220, The Word. I hope you'll be able to stick with us and join in the conversation. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can call us tonight at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And if you go there, like I've said, you'll find past programs there, some articles there that I've written. I was mentioning some of them earlier today, or earlier in the program, I should say. We have our two articles revolving around Easter and the resurrection of Christ. What day was Jesus crucified on? That's available there. You can find that. Also, is Easter a mistake? And we see the word Easter used in the King James Bible. Was that a mistake? And I address that there and also show that it is perfectly fine to use the name Easter for the celebration of the resurrection of Christ. It's a biblical word, and it has a biblical, it has an origin in the, I should say, in the German language into the English language, not going to the feast of Ishtar or Astarte, but to the celebration of the resurrection of Christ, an event known as the Christian Passover. That's why it's translated from the word pass, which means Passover. It's translated in every other case as Passover, but in this particular passage in the book of Acts, it's translated in Acts chapter 12, verse 4, as Easter for a very good reason. Wycliffe and Tyndale both used the term, has nothing to do with Ishtar, has nothing to do with Astarte. It has everything to do with the resurrection of Christ, and I hope you'll take a look at that. If the word Easter in the King James Bible in Acts chapter 12 there in verse number 4 is a reference to the Feast of Ishtar, then we have a major mistake in the Bible. If you're a King James Bible believer, you have to accept the word Easter, and it is there. In fact, the word was used, like I said, by Tyndale and Wycliffe. Tyndale and Wycliffe, I believe, both called Jesus, where some Bibles would call him the Passover Lamb, they called him the Oster or the Easter Lamb. And there's a very good reason for it. All right. Hopefully I got you with enough there to tempt you to go check us out online at Live with Pastor Al and take a look at those articles. Also wanted to mention, too, in the last half, I was talking with Nancy. We'll get back to her in just a minute. And I was mentioning about when Titus and the Romans destroyed Israel. I mistakenly said 40 years. I meant to say 70 years. And in the year AD 70, rather, not in the year AD 40. It was in the year AD 70. And so I had to correct that before I forget about it. And also a reminder that you can find us online, livewithpastoral.com, brought to you tonight by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, where I'm the pastor. And we just moved into our new location at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield. And we're also brought to you tonight by East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights. You can find East Coast Pizza at 4889 Turney Road, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. And you can call East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. Let them know you heard about them right here on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. All right, getting back to our programs here. Our number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, love to hear from you tonight. And Nancy, are you still with us there?
Yes, I am, Pastor Al.
Yes. Well, we were talking again about the idea of who the Antichrist might be. And I said in Daniel chapter 9, and this is where I mistakenly said AD 40, I meant to say AD 70. This is where the Romans destroyed Israel. And they destroyed city of Jerusalem, I should say, not Israel, the city of Jerusalem and the temple. They leveled the temple, they leveled the city, and what happened, this was the Roman people that did this, led by Titus, who later on, if I'm not mistaken, Titus became one of the Caesars and the leader of Rome. But so we have the Romans destroying the city and the sanctuary. That's what Daniel was talking about, Daniel chapter 9, verse 26, when the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, the city and the sanctuary being Jerusalem and the temple. The prince of the people that come or that do the destruction, this prince is going to come later, and he comes out of the Roman people. This is where we believe the Antichrist will come out of the Roman Empire. Some people talk about the revived Roman Empire, and some of Daniel's other prophecies indicate that the Roman Empire will have a revival at the end, and ultimately there's going to be 10 kingdoms set up. And I've said before, a lot of globalists divide the world into 10 governing regions, and these will be people who reject the Bible, but for some reason they like to come up with 10 governing regions, and Daniel talks about that. Elsewhere in Scripture, it talks about that. Daniel chapter 7 talks about the 10 kingdoms there, I believe it is, that come following the revived Roman Empire, as we would call it. But the Antichrist comes out of that. He's the prince of the people that destroy the city and the sanctuary. So he comes out of the Roman Empire. And so that's where mm-hmm. people tend to think it'll be somebody out of Europe. And this is where somebody mm-hmm. like a Macron seems to get favor with a lot of people. We don't know that he's the Antichrist, but mm-hmm. people look at him because he is of European royalty. He is a prince in the principality. I'm trying to think of it, a little principality between Spain and France. And it slips my mind right now. I'd have to look in the map to see it. Long day. I just can't think of the name of it right now. But he actually is of royal lineage there. And another thing that makes him attractive to people is that his name is Emmanuel. That's part of his name.
Oh, that's right.
And so, you know, the Antichrist could come on the scene and say, "Hey, I'm the Messiah." After all, doesn't mm-hmm. the Bible say that they'll call his name Emmanuel? And mm-hmm. and he actually even jokes about that apparently with people along those lines. He right now is in a battle for maintaining his position in France. I guess there's a close election. There's a far-right candidate that is running against him, and I guess they're kind of running close, so we'll see what happens there. But regardless of who it may be, we know that the devil has to have somebody ready pretty much in every generation. Because the mm-hmm. devil doesn't know exactly when the Lord is coming back. And mm-hmm. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 says the mystery of iniquity is already working in the world. And the restraining action of the Holy Spirit there, and I believe that's as he's working through believers, is preventing the Antichrist, as he calls it there, the son of perdition, from being revealed. When the rapture takes place and the believers are taken out of the world, then the Antichrist will have the opportunity to be revealed. Now, some people will recognize him at that time for whom he is, but a lot of people simply will not. I mean, think of how many churches where nobody ever talks about these things. Nobody ever looks at Daniel's prophecies. Nobody ever reads the book of Revelation. In fact, how many pastors out there say, well, you know, those are things that we just don't need to worry about. We just a waste of time speculating on that. God will do whatever he's going to do in his time, even though the Bible says that we ought to be watching and waiting. And looking for the soon return of Christ. And Paul writing to Titus called it our blessed hope. Sounds like something that ought to be hopeful for. So as we're looking at this, 100 years ago, they were supposed to be watching and waiting, and the devil, if he thought he could have brought the Antichrist to power at that time, no doubt had a candidate or more than one candidate. And so right now, no doubt that he does. And let's just say for the sake of argument that the rapture was going to take place this fall. I'm not saying that mm-hmm. it is. I'm just saying for the sake of argument. Well, if the rapture mm-hmm. took place this fall and the devil wants to be ready to bring forth the Antichrist to power, it would seem logical to me, reasonable to me, that the person who is the Antichrist would be in the world today. He would be mm-hmm. most likely active on the world scene today. And so that would mean somebody that perhaps is in the news, whoever it might be, we don't really know. And there's nothing that really says that we will know prior mm-hmm. to him confirming the covenant with the Jewish people for a 7-year period of time. Now, some people, they won't quite catch that. Some people, it won't be until the midpoint of the tribulation when he causes the sacrifice and the oblation to cease there in Daniel chapter 9 or in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 when he enters into the rebuilt temple and declares himself to be God, presents himself as God sitting in the holy place, or also in Revelation chapter 13, where the Antichrist builds the image and commands people to worship that and commands people to receive, you know, the mark of the beast. and their back of their right hand or on their forehead under penalty of death if you don't. And Revelation 14 makes it clear that the people who receive the mark of the beast are people who worship the Antichrist as God. Some people will see that. And Jesus warned the Jewish people in his day. He said, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, he told them they were to flee. So I think many of the Jewish people will recognize that immediately at that time, and they will know who the Antichrist is. But as to who he is today, I really don't know, but I think he's in the world today. I think he's active in the world today. It could be the devil has more than one candidate, just in case, hedging his bets. Likely he's somebody on the world scene today. And so any speculation would be just that, speculation.
Yeah, suppose somebody pushed you into a corner and said, you have to predict it's either going to be the Pope or President or France Macron. Which one would you say of those two? Say you're
Well, I know the Pope has been favored by a lot of people down through the ages. Personally, I look at things and I think the Pope is much more likely a candidate for the false prophet myself.
That's interesting.
Yeah, so I that's what I think personally. I know a lot of people disagree with that. But that's just my personal thought on that. So I would have to say that I think it's going to be somebody other than the Pope. I believe the Pope will be the false prophet. He'll be there working with the Antichrist.
Now, I forget, how is the false prophet different from the Antichrist? I mean, what is his main goal? I mean, what is his main position
Well, in Revelation chapter 13, I know I got some other callers patiently waiting for us here tonight, in Revelation chapter 13, he gives in verse 1, I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his head the name of blasphemy. And he goes on to describe this, and this is the Antichrist. And it's interesting, he comes out of the sea. The sea tends to represent the Gentile nations in the Bible. And then a little further down, we see another beast coming up. In verse 11, I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had 2 horns like a lamb and spake as a dragon. Then it gives some description about him. And coming out of the earth tends prophetically, and oftentimes in Scripture, refer coming out of Israel or out of the Jewish people. And so this would imply that the Antichrist comes from a Gentile background, and the false prophet is going to have somewhat of a Jewish background there. This is just an implication. I'm just saying it's an implication. But they're clearly two different things. I would encourage people to read chapter 13. The Antichrist is the world ruler. The false prophet heads up the world religion, and when the Antichrist declares himself to be God, he points everybody to the Antichrist and commands that people worship the Antichrist as God. So that'll be part. He's like a support role in a sense.
Well, you've covered it really well. I just want to thank you again for covering the fact that the word Easter is biblical, because I've heard some experts saying that the only way to describe this particular day is Resurrection Sunday, but you explained it. I was going to ask you to do that, and you already did. So thank you for taking
my call. Thank you.
I know you have other callers.
I appreciate your call tonight, Nancy. Thanks again, and God bless. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. We've got Mark calling in. Mark, welcome to the program tonight.
Hey, Pastor Al.
Hi, how you doing?
Not too bad. I've been calling in for the past year or so about the property I used to live on. I appreciate you taking my call, and it was that property I used to rent on. It was sold to a very bad ministry here in Marysville, Ohio, and they wanted to use the 5 rental units as transition housing for women getting out of prison and women also fleeing abusive relationships. And some very disturbing info came to light this week, and I would really appreciate prayers about this. I used to be in a cult, and I'm not saying this to be sensationalistic. I came out of that cult 30 years ago. There's only been about a half a dozen times where I've thought this could turn into a cult. Here's what I found out this week. For some reason, another pastor affiliated with the denomination that this leader of this ministry is in. And the leader, his name is Gene. He pastors a church here in Marysville also. This other affiliated pastor said that he has noticed online that it is mainly women that go to this man's church. There's very few men. And that this man will, Gene is his name, this deceptive pastor, he will read stuff to his congregation that he says the Lord told him. He won't even use the Bible many times. This man is in extreme demonic deception. For some reason, women gravitate towards him, and for some reason, he wants to have housing transitionally for women getting out of prison. This has got all the earmarks of a cult and also the potential for trafficking and physical or worse abuse. I would really appreciate it that people would pray for me tomorrow. I'm contacting the state attorney general about the Hope Center in Marysville, Ohio. I have no qualms anymore about saying their name over the air because I want people to pray that God would intervene, uncover everything, and bring them down, and that if this man is up to some really criminal stuff, that God would arrest, get him arrested, because this just smells. It stinks. There is something really wrong here, and we always hear about, you know, bad situations after the fact, after it's gotten so bad that people start, you know, reporting stuff. I'm praying that God will raise up people to pray and that God would nip this in the bud before it even gets off the ground, because this has got so much bad potential. I've talked to different people in prison ministries, and I've had three men that don't even know each other. I've called them on the Billy Graham prayer line. They've all said the same thing. This has got the potential to become a trafficking situation, and I believe that is possible.
Well, let me read you a passage of scripture as you were talking about that.
Sure, sure.
Come to my mind, 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, let me just start in verse 1. He says, "This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God." And it gets better as we come down here a little further. Verse 5, "having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away." And then he says in verse 6, "for of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth." What he's doing here, he's warning against people who specifically try to prey on women in difficult circumstances.
Yes. If people go to YouTube, they can see this man. He's at Agape Fellowship in Marysville, Ohio, and they can see his YouTube channel or YouTube recordings of his Sunday morning service. And the thing that really just makes me sick is he has got this unnatural calmness and this unnatural assurance, and he's just very relaxed and calm and overconfident. He used to be a firefighter, and I heard this weekend that the one thing women admire most is a firefighter because of their bravery. And I think women are just, for some reason, drawn to this. It's demonic magnetism. Mm-hmm. And this guy, he has all sorts of different jobs he works at. He's got different businesses, and he's a pastor. And somebody said, "I don't know how he does it." And I thought, "I know how he does it. The enemy doesn't oppose him."
Well, and that's absolutely true.
The enemy's using him. The enemy has given him free rein. And this guy, he is a wolf in sheep's clothing. And honestly, he's got all the potential and the charisma, of other cult leaders I've read of. It's very bad, so I would appreciate everybody's prayer.
I appreciate that, Mark, and let me encourage people to pray. I know we're running out of time here as well, but hopefully, Mark, we'll get a lot of people praying for you there this week, and that you'll get a good reception with the, you said you're going to the Attorney General's office?
Well, I'm going to call them up tomorrow and pray that God would give me favor and wisdom and I would say the right things and they would take it seriously.
All right.
Brush it off.
Yeah, appreciate that, Terry. And all the best. I'm sorry, Mark. I said Terry there. That's our next caller. I appreciate the call there. And we've got Terry welking. I can't talk here tonight. Get all tongue-tied here this evening. I can't get, as somebody said, I got my teeth or tongue wrapped around my eye teeth. And I can't see what I'm saying. But welcome, Terry. Appreciate you holding me for us.
You're getting a little tongue-tied.
Yes.
I was gonna thank you for correcting me about Israel not having the walls. I looked it up.
Yeah.
I did some research on it, and Israel does have barriers to protect them from terrorists.
Yeah, and
Benjamin Netanyahu had a lot to do with that.
Yeah, and they built that up. In fact, Israel's suffering some severe terrorist attacks right now. There's an uptick. I haven't had a chance to get into it as much as I'd like to, and I'd like to learn more about this, but there's an Islamic teaching that's widely held amongst, and I'm trying to decide whether it's amongst specifically Shiite or Sunni or amongst all of them, regardless of Shiite or Sunni, the two main branches. But the idea is this teaching is that Israel will cease to exist in mid-June of 2022. This has been being said for probably since the 1990s. There's I think he's a Sunni Muslim that put out a book on this subject, and it's a bestseller across much of the Islamic world. I heard it's one of the best-selling books in Malaysia, for instance, which is the Islamic area. But we have this going on right now, and this is the thing that tells me the Ezekiel 38 battle. People wonder if we might be seeing that soon. And the idea, of course, is that in the Ezekiel 38 battle, Israel's a land of unwalled villages, people are at rest, people that dwell safely. You've got the prime minister in Israel today saying anybody that is legal to carry a weapon should be armed because the terror threat is so great right now. So world coming against them.
More terrorists are forced suicide terrorists, I think? No.
Yeah, well, Ramadan is always a time of heightened terrorist activity in the Islamic world. Not all against non-Muslims. A lot of it's against other Muslims, Sunni against Shiite against Sunni. And in fact, one site calls it the Ramadan Bombathon. So we need to be in prayer for Israel. We need to be in prayer for the people there. A lot of people aren't paying attention. Everybody's looking at what's going on in Russia, Ukraine, and all of that. But there's a lot going on in the Middle East right now. Movements in the UN, movements in other sources to declare that Israel should not be in the Golan Heights. Buildup of forces, Iranian, Syrian there as well. But we're out of time. Thanks, Terry, for bringing that up. Thanks for listening. Have a great week this week. Join us next time. God bless.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com.